In today's gospel, Peter, James, and John have an experience of God on a mountaintop. We have all had, at some point in our lives, a mountaintop experience, or a time and place where we felt especially close to God. Whether it was living through some crisis, or we were inspired by God's infinite grandeur, we came away with some experience, knowing that something larger than ourselves is in control of the universe. And as wonderful and powerful as those experiences are, they are often short-lived, and we often end up frustrated, wanting that mountaintop experience to go on forever. But often they don't, because once we come down from the mountain, we realize we have to deal with the drama of life again. And so, in light of today's gospel, we should reflect on our mountaintop experiences of God and honestly ask ourselves, did we bring our experience of God into the world, or did we leave God on the mountaintop? From the perspective of divine revelation, it is commonly known that when Moses came down Mount Sinai after receiving the Ten Commandments, his face radiated with light. And because the people were afraid of him, Moses decided to put a veil over his face. However, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, Moses kept wearing the veil long after the glow had faded. And so, just as the glow of God can fade from the face of Moses, so too can our experience of God fade until the next time we meet God on the mountain. This image of the veil becomes significant, especially when we consider how we often construct veils of our own making that keep our experience of God only on the mountaintop, only in the church on Sundays, or wherever God is convenient for us, without us ever bringing that experience of God down the mountain, down into the faces of God's people in the drama of our lives. For many years, Thomas Merton, a famous monk, lived as a hermit, a life of solitude in a hermitage, a small cottage in the woods of Gethsemane Monastery in Kentucky. Merton died in 1968, but people continue to marvel at his simple dwelling in the woods. In his book on Merton's life, a priest talked about a sabbatical he took where he stayed in Merton's hermitage because he wanted to catch some of Merton's prayerful spirit. While there, the priest went out walking one day and saw a recluse, one of the monks who lived in complete solitude, not talking. The priest saw the monk at a distance, but tried to be respectful and not disturb his solitude. But then the monk saw him and recognized him. He then surprised the priest by breaking his silence and shouted to him, "You get to preach while I remain silent." He said, "When you're out there preaching, tell them one thing for me. Tell them that God is not out there. Tell them," he said, "God is here," pointing to his heart. That experience inspired the priest to write a whole book on contemplative prayer to tell us one thing: that God is not out there, or up there, or in some place, or in some moment, or a tent on a mountaintop. This priest and Merton are simply repeating what Jesus is trying to teach us, that God is within us. And if we could only see ourselves this way, we would have much greater difficulty destroying the earth or destroying the people in whom God dwells. Our destiny is not to find God on the mountaintop, but to apprehend God precisely where we are, in this moment, with this family, in this life, where we work, where we live, and where we die. Because if we are not aware of the God already within us, then our search for God is like holding a lamp and then trying to look for the light. We are searching for what we already have. So we must stop living the life that is not there and begin living the life that was always there. The story of the Transfiguration is a story that prompts and stirs our awareness of God. When we see, when we really see God in the circumstances of our life, then God will whisper to get our attention. And in that moment, our joyful anticipation will be to wake up and be aware of what you already have, to be present, to be attentive, and to be grateful. In today's gospel, we heard a powerful mountaintop story. Each of us has a mountaintop story of God that needs to be told. But more importantly, each of us has a story that needs to be heard. Because stories edify our faith and give glory to God's ongoing revelation in salvation history. When we share our stories, we share our faith. I would like to share with you a couple of stories that have anchored my faith and have kept me inspired. When I think of what makes for a good marriage, I think of a 93-year-old parishioner who, after 71 years of marriage, lost his beloved wife. And on the spur of the moment, I asked him if he wouldn't mind sharing with some young couples his experience of marriage. He agreed. Once gathered in the room, an eager young couple asked our guest, what was their secret for a good and long marriage? He paused for a long moment, and then he said, we were married for 71 years, 8 months, 12 days, 8 hours, 15 minutes. There was nothing I could say that would make that response any clearer or more true. When I think of the courage of parenthood, I think of a young mother in labor delivery who actually made a pact with God that if her newborn child, who had a small chance of survival, actually survived the night, she would name her daughter Trinity. And by God's grace, that child did survive. And I never witnessed a more joyful and thankful baptism for a young girl named Trinity. When I think of the need for a faith community, I think back when my wife and I lost a child to miscarriage. And in our sorrow, we sought healing through the sacrament of Christ. But we also needed the healing through the body of Christ, of the community of Christ, the people of a faith community. And it was only when we were invited to share our stories did others feel safe enough to share their stories, and give us the words that we long to hear. And what we long to hear was for someone to say, "We lost our child too." It was as if our story could only find its completion in someone else's story, that somehow our suffering could only be carried by a larger suffering, by those and by the one vulnerable enough to share the same pain, same sorrow, same story. My friends, stories of faith build faith communities. Your stories of faith are not to be kept on a mountaintop, but are to be told and heard so that others may live.